Now, as South Africa marks Freedom Day this coming Monday, we reflect on the meaning of freedom over 32 years into democracy. And a critical question for us tonight is, how free are women in 2026, particularly those in the rural sector, in rural farming communities, those who work farms? For many women living and working on farms, freedom remains tied to unresolved struggles around land, housing, safety, dignity, wages, and access to opportunities. Now, while many progress has been made, many challenges still remain, especially for women in the rural sector who often face multiple layers of inequality. Carmen Lowe, who is one of the coordinators, I believe she is the coordinator for land and housing programs at the Women on Farmers Project, joins us this evening to unpack this discussion. Thank you so much, Carmen, for joining us on KC Talk tonight. Now, we mark Freedom Day this coming Monday. Your organization, Women on Farms, says farm women have nothing to celebrate. Why do you say many women in the rural sector still do not experience the freedom promised, post 1994?
Good evening, Rashad and listeners, and thank you for the opportunity. So women living and working on farms are still facing various forms of discrimination, gender being one. They face intersectional challenges that are linked to patriarchal control in commercial farming areas, as well as inequality, especially land inequality. And as long as women are dependent on commercial farmers and male partners, they will continue to suffer.
Now, of course, in your recent statement, you highlight that landlessness, insecure tenure and evictions remain some of the major concerns for women on farms. How do these issues continue to affect women's dignity, safety, and the economic independence in 2026?
So women farm workers and dwellers are often employed seasonally, so economically they are not economically secure throughout the year, which makes them vulnerable and dependent on male partners, especially vulnerable to gender-based violence. And the same goes for tenure security. Houses on farms are in most cases allocated to the male partners or permanent male partners, which means that women don't have tenure security in their own right. Their tenure right is linked to the, either that of a father, a partner, a son. So which means that when the partner dies, the husband dies, widows are often evicted. And when she separates from a husband or a partner, she's the one that needs to leave the home and often end up on the street or in an informal settlement.
I'm glad you've alluded to that issue now, because that actually brings me to my second question, which is the fact that farm women make up much of the labor market, labor force in the agricultural sector. However, as you've alluded to now, ownership and access to land and property remains deeply unequal. So I want to know from you, why has land reform not meaningfully benefited rural women, and what changes have you as Women on Farms put on the table?
So that's a very important question, not only for farm women but for the whole of South Africa, because 72% of agricultural land still belongs to historic commercial farmers. And in the Western Cape, I think less than 1% of land was redistributed to those who suffered previously and continue to suffer because they don't have access to land. And part of this is the control that the current owners still have over land, and there's no political will towards transformation. Despite with Freedom Day, we celebrate our constitution. And our constitution guarantees or mandates a government to ensure that there's equitable land redistribution, which is not happening. So what we are saying is that use the existing laws, for example, the Expropriation Act, to take some of that land for redistribution. In fact, commercial farmers continue to make a noise about expropriation, but land was expropriated to build a bridge to enter Valdevie from Simondium side. So expropriation do happen, but only those with money and historic privilege, they continue to benefit from the laws. We're also saying there is an existing, the Esther Amendment Act, also mandates government in Section 4 to purchase land, even commercial land, to use that land to for tenure security for farm dwellers who face eviction. And as part of a broader movement, we say that at least every woman, especially women in rural communities, must have 1 hectare of land. One woman, 1 hectare. That is our collective demand as the Rural Women's Assembly.
Mm-hmm. You've alluded to several challenges now, from poverty, gender-based violence, low wages, poor housing, and limited access to services, to land, to property. Of course, these are all big issues and major concerns. But I want to know from you, which of these crises, if one can call it that, is at the moment, an urgent matter, and what is Women on Farms doing to advocate for that to change?
Well, we advocate at various levels. This week, or this month at least, our focus is on national government. To ask for a meeting with a minister, in fact, with various ministers, including the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, because there is, in the Cape Winelands, there's various experimental farms or former experimental farms, state land, state farms, with vast tracts of unused land. So if that land can be incorporated in the land reform program, women can have access to that land. Land can be redistributed. So that we consider a low-hanging fruit. Instead of people who are evicted ending up in informal settlements, we know that Drakenstein municipality has the highest number of farm evictions. And to live in a shack is not dignified living, where there's land, that way we proper structures can be built for dignified living for women.
I'm glad you've alluded to the issue of developments and the impact that it has on farming communities and the subsequent evictions that we see. Just yesterday, in my personal capacity, I again got a phone call from someone living on a farm under the Tweedskloof Pass towards Worcester, and they are now again facing possible evictions. Where do we stand currently? And I mean, I ask this since every time you and I speak, you repeat that phrase, which is, It's just heartbreaking to hear it, which is to hear that we live in a municipality that has the highest farm eviction rates. Obviously, Women on Farms does a lot of work to advocate for this to change. They take up matters to court. They protest outside of farms. What change have you seen, if any, when it comes to farm evictions, especially in the case where farms are turned into these luxurious developments?
Well, that one is the difficult one. We continue to highlight and to advocate. It's just a systemic problem, and it's linked to the land reform and land inequality. issue. I'll get back to that now. But some of the successes that we have for years, the ESTA Act that regulates tenure on farms allows for criminalization where people are illegally evicted. And for years, police stations, especially those in Drakenstein municipality, refuse to open a criminal case against landowners who illegally evict people. Through our continuous advocacy at the police systems and capturing the care system has been amended, and they now, and police are being trained, so they now wear, and they've started opening cases, illegal eviction cases. In fact, last week in the Simondium area, we have supported farm dwellers who opened a case, and that farm is such a notorious farm. We've probably had three illegal evictions that we've reported to the police on that particular farm and other farms in the Cape Winelands as well. So that is a big victory finally. And they actually supposed to arrest the landowners where illegal evictions are happening, and we continue to monitor that process and see that the prosecuting authorities continue to prosecute individuals for that. But this big thing about the housing, one of our demands that we've tabled yesterday in our memorandum is that there should be a moratorium on the granting of rezoning of agricultural land for development. Because the pace at which development, these luxury estates develop, and where rezoning permission is granted at a very rapid pace, whereas not the same happens for low-cost housing, the development of low-cost housing. So that continuous inequality, economic inequality, those with money gets things done faster, and those dependent on the state waits forever. So that, therefore, that is one of the reasons why we would like also to sit around the table with the Minister of Public Works and Agriculture, because agriculture is the minister or the department that grants these rezoning permissions together with the relevant municipality where the rezoning is, the development is taking place.
Now, Carmen, you're breaking news here. I don't believe I've seen news reports yet of your calls for a moratorium to be placed on a land that is zoned for development purposes. How do you think this will be received from the relevant departments, from municipalities, from Drakenstein municipalities specifically, since we find ourselves in the Cape Winelands? Do you think it's something that they will welcome? Well, not necessarily welcome, but at least give a call to?
I doubt, because Drakenstein is one of the richest municipalities, and the development, lifestyle housing development, it is because of semi-migration of wealthier citizens. So they want the rich people in the municipality, but that wealth doesn't translate into a real transformation for those without wealth. So, and the big thing with the rezoning of agricultural land, commercial producer bodies says that if they change, if there's land reform, there'll be food insecurity. But the hectares and hectares and hectares of land are used for housing. Agricultural land are rezoned for housing. So how does that make sense? Whereas they can give, I mean, farm dwellers don't even ask for a lot of land. They ask for a piece of land where they live and extra land where they can produce at least for household food security. It's not even 5-6 hectares on a farm, whereas thousands of hectares are now being rezoned, especially in the Golden Triangle, Paarl, Stellenbosch and Franschhoek. For these rezoning developments, there's areas that Franschhoek, that Van Riebeek Road there where the new mall is. I mean, there's hardly any farm dwellers on farms. They don't live there, and they are being relocated to Flakkeland, which is far away from where they used to live.
Hmm. Carmen, I just want to stay on this issue and this topic of land, specifically of farm evictions. For our listener that's hearing about these laws that you've alluded to and referred to earlier, one of them being the ESTA law. I believe there's another. There's two main laws that comes to play when it comes to farm evictions. Just very briefly, just explain the difference between the two of us, between the two of them, and which is the one that protects the rights of people living on farms.
There are two laws that regulates evictions. It's the PIE, Prevention of Illegal Evictions and Unlawful Occupation Act. That's more for non-farm dwellers. Whereas for farm dwellers, there's the ESTA Act, the Extension of Security of Tenure Act. And it has recently been amended in 2024. The amendment came into effect. So farm dwellers who've worked on a farm and who live on a farm, if they face evictions, they will be covered under ESTA. They're protected under ESTA. There are certain processes that must be followed, but very important for the listeners. Once they receive a letter to say they must vacate, they must urgently contact our office or one of the activists in the communities, because the minute you receive a letter, there are certain procedures that must follow, which they cannot do on their own. They need support, and we'll guide them through the process and make sure that they have legal support, etc.
When we ask how free are women, which I mentioned in my introduction in 2026, freedom is also, I believe, about voice and power. Do you do rural women feel heard in these policy changes, policy making that you and I have spoken about this evening? And what would meaningful inclusion in decision making, policy making about land, labor, and housing, what does it look like?
Well, before we even get to policy, I want just to revert. Women are definitely not free, because they're not economic free. They don't have homes of their own. They face gender-based violence in the home, in the streets. And they are linked to men because they are dependent on them. So they're definitely not free. Policy spaces, policymakers must create spaces for meaningful consultation. And that will take into account the language that women speak, the levels of literacy, and their specific needs. We find that many of the acts, for example, the ESTA Act, gives protection for people who've worked on the farm, that your tenure on the farm is linked to your labor. Now, in most cases, women are seasonal labor, which that prevents them from the full protection of that act. So they need to look at the act and consult with women to see how to make acts more gender inclusive.
Just lastly, Carmen, looking ahead, what are women on farms demanding from government this Freedom Day? It's a very loaded question, I know. And what should ordinary South Africans understand about the struggles and the resilience of women in a nutshell, just to sum up what we've talked about tonight?
So South Africans lost their freedom, or even before it was South Africa, but this country lost its freedom when colonizers came and they took our land. So to complete our freedom, women must have access to land, especially those who've been working the land for generations, right? And what was the second part? What about the woman?
What is women on farms demanding from the South African government this Freedom Day?
So that the government would really start implementing the legal reforms that they have, that is there, like the Expropriation Act, Section 4 of the ESTA Act, where they purchase land, but also to secure that women are really safe, and that there's a different type of agriculture, a different type of agricultural economy that will ensure that women have income and food throughout the year. Because what we have now with seasonal harvesting creates seasonal hunger when it's off season.
And as Carmen Lowe, she is the Land and Housing Program Coordinator at the Women on Farms project. We, of course, talked about Freedom Day that we are celebrating and commemorating this coming Monday, the 27th of April. Carmen, of course, laying out the challenges still being faced by women in the rural sector in South Africa. And I believe women as a whole, women in general, South African women in general, saying
women in general,
without land, without access to property, without tenure rights, women in South Africa will never be free.